Welcome inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios for Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meaney, Ashley Docking here with you. As always, we hope you guys had a great weekend. We hope you were very successful fantasy-wise. Maybe some of you even advanced in your season-long leagues. Yeah. Probably if you didn't have Davante Adams.
Yeah, Adams burned me in a couple. It's funny, if you had Adams, you definitely were in the semis, probably.
Yes, because he's
waiver wire gem. And then he just let you down. The 2015 Davante Adams showed up last night with two drops in the end zone.
Wide open.
Yeah. Third in the Fantasy Pros contest, and I had Adams and Rodgers. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's like 25 points.
Like, it's just within your grasp and right then gone. Like those dreams where you go to like hit something or someone and you just like, contact is like, just grazes them and you're just,
Everyone was all over social media last night with Davante Adams. I think he like kicked the post too. He was so upset with himself. He just gave the post.
Before the ball even hit the ground. Yeah. Actually, I watched that. I'm like, that was interesting. Okay. Yeah. Brock Osweiler, he had a bad day as well. Probably a little bit worse than Davante Adams because the Packers at least still won the game, even though Houston did. Brock Osweiler had nothing to do with it because he was taken out of the game in the second quarter after throwing two picks on back-to-back series, and not even back-to-back series, back-to-back plays. So Tom Savage goes in the game, and their salaries, you were mentioning, there's quite a discrepancy because Brock Osweiler got paid $72 million with $37 million of that guaranteed, and Tom Savage makes
$300,000. That's
so
exactly it.
I was going to
give him a little bit more dollars, some more dollars there, but it's just $300,000 guaranteed. This guy was drafted in 2014, fourth round pick, and it looks like he's going to be the starter now, actually, for the Houston Texans that are tied for the division lead, and as of right now would make the playoffs. So, I mean, next week they got Cincinnati, and then week 17 is the big one against Tennessee. It could potentially be for the division, depending on what the Colts do in their next two games, too. So, this is it, man. It's Savage. It's Savage time. I don't know. He came into that game, and at one point he had more yards than Brock Osweiler and Bortles combined, and he had 260 yards. It's not bad. It's not awful.
Like, we'll see.
Way better than what Brock has been able to do. Like 59 completion percentage with 14 touchdowns and 16 picks.
But they also were playing Jacksonville, who's not exactly the cream of the crop. They fired their head coach after giving up that lead, Gus Bradley.
They have a decent pass defense. Like, it's okay. I mean, that was Jalen Ramsey's first pick of the season last year, and he's been a big reason why their defense has been so good. So, last year they had, five different quarterbacks, and DeAndre Hopkins was okay, like more than okay.
Yeah.
And this year he's just average, not even all that good with, a quarterback that they paid all that money for. So I'm sure him and the rest of the crowd, did you hear the crowd? It was like a standing ovation when Tom Savage came into the football game.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. And I guess Denver's sitting there laughing, like, we told you.
Yeah, John Elway knows what's going on.
We didn't want to pay up for this guy for a reason. So Houston, joke's on you. Terrell Pryor underwent an MRI or is going to have an MRI on his sprained finger today, and he's been okay this season, but Cleveland's just been a disaster, and Pryor's numbers have really plummeted since RG3 has been back in the lineup. The last two games, 22 yards on 5 receptions since RG3 returned after going 4 of 8 for 19 yards in a loss to the Bills this weekend.
Yeah, I think we said last week, Ashley, you can't play him. They had the one target, you mentioned the one target with RG3, and then you can't trust that, obviously. Now with the finger issue, it's a good season for Pryor, unrestricted free agent. Mm-hmm. Interesting to see where he goes. At the start of the year, we're talking about this guy being an okay value, not just in daily fantasy sports. He was bare minimum week one against the Eagles. And if you picked him up off the waiver wire, you did pretty good with him, but his time's over.
Cleveland.
His time's over.
Oh, man, Cleveland. Like, I want them
That's
to
it.
Just
0-16.
Have a win because not yet. It hasn't been done since 2008. The Detroit Lions were the last team to go undefeated when playing more than 8 games in a season. So it's just tough. You don't want to see guys get frustrated like that. I'm sure it's pretty demoralizing to go day in and day out. And on top of everything, to have other players in the league call you trash. Straight up to the media, no filter,
right,
not off the record, no anonymity, just like, you can quote me, you can take my photo, you can actually have me on camera looking right into the camera and saying, the Cleveland Browns, trash.
He's looking in the garbage, where's Pryor at? I can't find him. Bryce Petty came into that football, actually left Saturday's football game. Ryan Fitzpatrick came into that football game, who a lot of people think is trash as well. But Petty apparently is okay dealing with a chest injury. Ian Rappaport says all the tests came back fine. He's expected to start. It's not somebody that you're starting, but I think we've been talking about Robbie Anderson enough there. Petty's got that nice smile, and so far the completion percentage is pretty good. 71.3, not bad from that guy, actually, in minimal playing time. Mm-hmm. But Robbie Anderson is another. He had a decent game again over the weekend and caught another touchdown. So it's been like three straight games with Petty. He's been really good. So if you're in a finals, I think you can continue to roll him out there and at worst in a flex.
If Petty's going to come back.
Yeah.
If Petty's going to come back. Because he still had two interceptions, three turnovers. So he wasn't that great. But I'm just glad that he's fine because they were checking for spinal damage. They were checking for internal, like to see if he had a punctured lung. So he's going to be okay. And so is Janorius. I want to say Javorius all the time. Mm. So is Janorius Jenkins. He got some friendly fire, a knee to the back.
Yeah,
and that was pretty serious. So he walked off under his own power. He jogged the last few steps to get off onto the sideline. And then he did not return, though. So they're saying that's not a spinal injury. They're checking for organ damage. It's pretty serious. And he's been one of the reasons that the New York Giants have been so good. If you look at their defensive numbers for the last, I think since week 9, they haven't had a quarterback throw over 300 yards in the air. So they've been really undercover good over the last little while.
And still no quarterback has had 20 fantasy points against him, too, from the fantasy perspective. Yeah, he's been great. The Giants defense has been great. They're looking really good. They're looking like a Super Bowl contender. This team has done it before in the past with Eli Manning not looking all that great. And even yesterday wasn't that great in that football game, but just did enough to get it done. So can't count out the Giants. And then switch over to basketball news. Blake Griffin dealing with a knee injury, actually has to have surgery 3 to 6 weeks. He's expected to be sidelined. So this is another big blow. I mean, last year you had Griffin. He dealt with a hand injury, broke his hand when he punched
his friend in the face.
Punched his friend in the face. I mean, have you ever punched your friend
manager?
In the face?
No, I have not. Have I ever slapped a friend? No.
You never slapped a friend?
No, why would you slap your friend?
I don't know.
Have you?
Shouldn't.
You have then. Tell me the story.
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, I probably like slapped. It's a little slap.
Like, what does younger mean? Like last week? Because technically you were younger last week. Like, I need some context here,
when I was like 15 years old, maybe.
What happened? Did he sleep with your girl?
No. I don't know. We probably got in a fight over like ball hockey or something.
Mini sticks.
Yeah, mini sticks. And just like give him a big whack.
Okay, Blake Griffin is out. But you know who I like instead? You tell me if you agree with me. Markieff Morris. I was checking the Yahoo waiver wires in our league that we have at work. He has three position eligibility, small forward, power forward, and center, depending on the format. He has double-digit points over his last 5 or 6 games, 3 or 4 assists, and averaging 6 rebounds for Washington over that time. So if you need a plug and play, I'm not saying drop Blake Griffin, but I'm saying if you want to put him on your bench, you have someone that's underperforming, pick up Markieff Morris, and you can use him instead of Blake Griffin until Griffin returns. And I think that he's kind of a guy that you can't really trust to have these huge numbers, but he's going to be averagely average.
Averagely average. I like that. Yeah, no, you could do enough. There's a lot of guys that you can pick. He's one of them. Tyreek Evans is a guy who just came back. You can pick up. J.J. Barea is coming back next week. You saw with that Mavs front court or the back court just being so depleted, you can go ahead and pick him up. And then if you need some threes, Nick Young.
He's seventh
in the league in 3 points made per game at 2.7. He had 8 the other night. So there's lots of guys who can just help you out in different categories.
I was talking to Jesse Mermis, who was the coach of Raptors 905 last year. He's the assistant coach with Luke Walton now. And we were talking to him because he came back to Toronto when the Lakers were playing the Raptors, and he literally said, "I can't believe Nick Young is our best player." I did not think when I took this position that I would be saying this about Nick Young. He's our best guy.
Hey, so. That backcourt in L.A. is not bad.
Yeah, it's things not can bad. Change. They're having fun over there in L.A. We're having fun here on the show, and it's about to get even better when Howard Bender from NumberFire.com joins us right after the break. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meaney and Ashley Docking here with you as always. And as per usual, one of our favorite guests joining us to talk about the Monday-Thursday slate of games. We welcome in Howard Bender right now. Hello, sir. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you very much for having me again, guys. Always a pleasure. You know that.
Hey, Howard, I don't know if you watch much Fantasy Sports Network when you're not on. Gabe does a Who Ruined Your Sunday off the top. I always look forward to it. It's one of my favorite segments to check. Anybody ruin your Sunday?
I would have to say I ruined my Sunday, actually, because I ended up biting on the old Kenneth Farrow bait dangled out for all of us, and I ended up leaving Robbie Anderson on the bench. I ended up leaving Ryan Matthews on the bench and Brandon LaFell. also on the bench. Could be in trouble if unless Kirk Cousins puts up the worst game of his life tonight.
Well, let's talk about Kirk Cousins, because as Ashley said, let's talk about a Monday-Thursday contest, FanDuel DraftKings. Kirk Cousins going tonight up against Cam Newton. Of course, you got Eli Manning and Carson Wentz on Thursday night. What's the quarterback? If you're playing, who's the quarterback you want in your lineups? I guess it's not Kirk Cousins.
Well, for me, it's not Kirk Cousins. I could definitely hedge this one, and I could actually go big on Kirk Cousins, which is, listen, I mean, it's the play. It's definitely the chalk play. He's going up against a very, very weak Carolina secondary. They've fallen apart. They give up crazy points to the tight end. Jordan Reed's coming back. He's got great targets. Jamison Crowder is going to be having a big game there. So, yeah, I'm going to say that Kirk Cousins is going to be the chalk. I think Eli Manning could actually be that sneaky play, especially if he can continue to incorporate Sterling Shepard into that passing game, and it's not all Odell Beckham. So if he can do that, I think Philly is definitely vulnerable.
You mentioned Sterling Shepard. He had a touchdown yesterday, as did Odell Beckham Jr. Besides those two guys, who do you like at the wide receiver position then? Because we do talk sometimes on this show that if you're going to upgrade your quarterbacks, you have to upgrade their offensive weapons. Jordan Reed, I don't know if you can necessarily trust him. It's a pain tolerance thing with his shoulder. We know he's a crazy man, that he'll play regardless of what's going on with himself physically, but can he sustain it? Are you looking to him as well?
I'm sort of looking to Jordan Reed. I kind of probably want to pivot over to Zach Ertz. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz is doing a lot of leaning on Zach Ertz, and while he didn't have the greatest game this past week, going up against the Giants, who are super weak against the tight end statistically, makes him for a nice play if you want to pay down even just a little bit from Jordan Reed, because you know he's going to be super chalky there and really high priced. For me, the wide receivers to kind of look at again is Odell Beckham. I like Sterling Shepard here. I love Jamison Crowder's matchup tonight. Ted Ginn could be a nice little deep play because if you know, the Panthers are falling behind, you could get a nice deep bomb from him. What I'm really looking at, though, is to see what happens with Janoris Jenkins. He left yesterday's game with an injury where they kind of think that it might be a kidney, some sort of internal organ. It's not physically a back issue. But if the Giants, who are obviously headed to the playoffs, end up wanting to sit Janoris Jenkins, that actually might open things up a little bit more for Jordan Matthews, and it might even open up something for Doriel Green Beckham if he's healthy enough to play.
You briefly mentioned Ted Ginn Jr., 3 touchdowns in 4 weeks for that Carolina offense. Is there anyone else that you like on that offense? Because we had high hopes for Calvin Benjamin coming back off his injury, but
started
again,
strong.
They are going up against Josh Norman, who they scorned. It's a revenge game for him. They wouldn't pay him up, and he's going to be hungry. Who do you think that he's going to be following around the field?
They've actually said that he's going to be shadowing Calvin Benjamin and taking him out of the game completely, which could actually just open things up even better for Greg Olsen. But you kind of have to look at Devin Funchess. He's had a couple of touchdowns in recent weeks. And Ted Ginn, obviously, he gets that deep bomb. You know, Ted Ginn, he's a boomer bust play. He's not a guy that you want to use on DraftKings in the short slate because he just doesn't see enough targets there. Mm-hmm. However, if Benjamin's being shadowed, Funchess could see a nice little increase in targets, making him a nice little valuable sneaky play. But again, Jamison Crowder, chalk, 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 chalk. He's going to be a monster this week.
And no disrespect to Josh Norman, but Calvin Benjamin's doing a real good job of taking himself out of games lately. Like, Josh Norman might just, he's like, oh no, I got Calvin, no problem, because he wants to actually take the night off.
Well, what do you make of that, of the Carolina offense? Because Ashley's right. I mean, Calvin Benjamin has just been invisible these past few weeks. Nobody's getting open for Cam, and the line is in shambles, and Cam has just not been great either. So does this make you like Jonathan Stewart at the running back position?
Well, you have to love Jonathan Stewart at the running back position. Cam actually, since he got jacked up at the line, he actually hasn't been poaching touchdowns like he usually does. He's still going to try and take his against this weak run defense, because I guess Washington, they rank 30th against the run. They have not been strong at all. They've been a little bit better in a couple of recent weeks, but not enough that you're going to sit there and you're not going to want to use Jonathan Stewart here. I think that definitely if Cam's shoulder is bothering him, Stewart's going to be a heavy play. He's going to see a lot of volume as Carolina tries tries to control the ball and keep Washington's passing offense off the field.
I really like where you went with Zach Ertz, because I feel like most people will be on Greg Olsen today because Calvin Benjamin's been pretty chalky, and maybe not a lot of people want to trust Jordan Reed, especially like in cash plays. You mentioned Zach Ertz, tight end one over the last 7 weeks, the most targets among tight ends over that span as well. Let's continue with the running back position and sticking with the Eagles, because you mentioned you sat Ryan Matthews. Are you going to go back to Ryan Matthews? Like, who's that other back? I agree that I think it's Jonathan Stewart is like a must play today, but who is that other running back that you want to plug in there? Because you have to play two. And the Giants situation is a mess. I mean, Paul Perkins, who knows?
You don't
I mean,
want
Perkins and Rashad Jennings, it's like every other day with these guys.
Yeah, you know, I kind of hoped that Paul Perkins was going to go the same way that Baltimore went, using like Kenneth Dixon, who was eventually overtaking Terrence West. That one got shot this week also. So to sit there and try and hope for, Paul Perkins to do it, it's like my granddaddy used to say, you can hope in one hand and crap in the other, see which one fills up first. So other running backs I'm using, I mean, I'm just going to, I'm going to throw in fat Robert Kelly. How do you not love Rob Kelly in this one? I don't like any of the backs in the Giants-Eagles matchup, even though Ryan Matthews could see some goal line work over there, which might put him on a nice cheap play. But for me, it's going to be the running backs in this one, even though it's not a great matchup for Kelly. I think that it's going to be some decent volume, and or at least enough for him that when they do get inside the five, that he will get some heavy looks.
Just out of curiosity, did you ever try your grandpa's theory? Which one fills up first?
I use two different words.
Yeah,
not
we all use two different words. I have never physically tried it. Mentally, absolutely. And I got to tell you, which hand fills up first.
Howard, thank you so much. We got to get out of here, but we really appreciate your time as always and your sense of humor, my friend.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks so much. Happy holidays to all you guys out there.
Yes, same to you. Enjoy the Monday Night Football game. Hopefully Kirk Cousins doesn't go off. I got a feeling he will, though.
I hope 14 points or less, please.
Okay, fingers crossed.
All right, take care.
Oh, my gosh. 14 points or less against a defense who gives up the 9th most touchdowns to quarterbacks and the 10th most passing yards. Good luck, Howard. we're all hoping alongside you, though. Okay, we're going to pivot. We're going to go NHL with Neil Parker from RotoWire coming up next on FSD. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As promised, it's time to talk about the NHL, and there's an intimate slate of games tonight.
Yes.
Just 5 games on the ice, so you have to get really familiar with people before you decide that you really want to have this DFS relationship with them this evening. And so to help us out with that, Neil Parker from RotoWire.com joins us now. Hey, Neil, how's it going?
I'm doing well.
What's
I didn't realize things were so intimate and up close here on a Monday morning.
If it was up to me, the lights would have dimmed. The camera would have like done a nice, slow
very creative,
zoom,
Neil.
Just to kind of like set the mood for the slate of games tonight. But instead,
right,
I'm going to leave that up to Chris. Chris?
Well, I see you got a Toronto Maple Leafs logo in the back there, but I can't talk about, Anaheim without talking about Ricard Raquel, who's going up against the Maple Leafs. Raquel, 14 goals in the year. He's got like 9 in his last couple weeks. I mean, you can continue to play this guy in DFS. He seems like pretty safe play.
Yeah, just to put his numbers in perspective, Chris, 3.47 points per 60 minutes is the fifth highest mark among skaters with at least 300 minutes this season, and it's 2.31 goals per 60 minutes, third best. So Raquel's ascending to being one of the elite scorers in the league already, and it's sort of like the passing of the torch we saw from Teemu Selanne to Corey Perry. Now, 6, 7, 8 years later, Raquel's the next superstar for the Anaheim Ducks.
Wow, high praise.
Flow.
High praise to include Teemu Selanne in that conversation.
Did you see his flow as well?
Who?
Raquel?
Yeah, he does. He has a nice little, the nice flip that all those girls that go to country concerts try and do when they have like the deep part. You know the ones I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Did you just fix your hair?
Yeah,
if we're ranking Flo on the show, it goes Neil, myself, then you. Sorry.
Well, Raquel and then me.
Yeah, you're after the board.
Oh, absolutely. I'm after the board.
All right, let's take a look at another matchup then. Let's look at Edmonton-St. Louis. Connor McDavid, the most expensive center on the board if you're looking at DK pricing at $8,500. But on the other side of the matchup, Tarasenko's been pretty good. He's the most expensive winger at $7,900. Do you like either of these guys, and why the preference?
Well, I definitely like Tarasenko just because he's a beast, and he's definitely shown excellent chemistry with Robbie Fabbri lately. They've combined for 3.76 goals per 60 minutes. That's a huge total. Mm-hmm. And Tarasenko has 5 goals, 14 points, and 31 shots through 9 December games. Just tagging along, Fabbri is a really nice asset to add alongside, stack with Tarasenko. Helps mitigate Tarasenko's hefty price. And Fabbri has 7 goals, 14 points, and 35 shots through his past 17 games. So just quickly, too, touching on Mark Letestu, he's a contrarian stack option alongside McDavid because they're sharing time on the number one power play unit. Letestu has 4 goals, 8 points, 28 shots through 9 December games. And the best part about Letestu is he is seeing an uptick in ice time, 16 minutes, 24 seconds per night in December, and 3.12 on the power play. So he's a little cheaper, and he'll probably be a little lowly, or he'll be lower owned than some of the other options.
Yeah, he seemingly came out of nowhere. He had 0 points between October 26th and November 29th. That's quite a dry spell, quite a drought. But 5 of his 6 goals have come against Winnipeg this season, so it's just a positive matchup for him. They don't play Winnipeg anymore, though. But what do you like about his game, if you can kind of elaborate on that? Because you said it was contrarian, and I'm actually just more interested into what you like really see in him.
Well, head coach Tom McLellan's leaning on him. There was an interview, Hockey Night in Canada this Saturday, where Letestu basically said they were thinking about limiting his minutes because he's just being played so much. He's a 31-year-old veteran surrounded by a bunch of younger players. You know, he knows his role. He goes up and down up and down the ice, takes care of business, and benefits from playing with really talented players, being in the right spot at the right time.
And that's some of that reliability that Edmonton's been missing for a long time.
For sure.
I like him.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. He plays power play, as you mentioned, with McDavid, killing penalties, taking big faceoffs, and I love the ice time. 18, 20, 16. You see him there on the fourth line. Not a lot of people want to play him on the fourth line, but with the special teams play, he gets that ice time that you're talking about, Neil. Let's talk about a goaltending situation here. I don't know how you feel about Mike Smith, but I've been playing Mike Smith. He's like that boom or bust guy. I mean, Arizona allows the most shots per game in the NHL. He has the second most saves per game. When he faces 35-plus shots, he's undefeated in regulation. He's 5-0-4. 9-plus DK points in 4 of his last 8 games. The problem is he can also get you a negative. So do you feel comfortable rolling him out in like a tournament play? He doesn't seem like he's a cash play, but who are you feeling in goal tonight? Is it Mike Smith?
Well, I mean, just to touch on Mike Smith, backstopping the worst team in the league is obviously not a favorable fantasy situation, and Arizona is allowing the most high danger scoring chances per 60 minutes in the league. Still, though, Smith is, like you said, he's getting it done. 34-year-old veteran, owns an incredible .930 save percentage, and, you know, if he can get away with the win, he's going to see lots of shots, and therefore, there's huge upside if he can only allow 2 goals or fewer.
Is there a goalie that maybe that's a little bit more safer for you that you feel that you can play in cash games?
Well, I never would consider a goalie for the Toronto Maple Leafs safe, but Frederik Andersen has just been absolutely dominant of late. He's allowed 2 goals or fewer in 11 of his past 12 starts, owns a .940 save percentage, 1.81 goals against average during that stretch. And during that 12-game stretch, among all teams last 12 games, Toronto has now allowed the 5th fewest high danger scoring chances per 60 minutes. So they're starting to turn their season around across the board, and Anderson's been the main reason why.
Well, Neil, thanks. We got to get out of here so much, but we really, really appreciate your time. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, sir. I hope you have a fabulous week and a great weekend.
I will. Thanks a lot, Ashley. Thanks a lot, Chris. Same to you.
All right. Take care. Enjoy the hockey.
We didn't get to PK Subban off the top of the show, but he's out with an upper body injury. He's actually not traveling with his team for the game in Philadelphia, which means he's probably questionable for their game on Tuesday in New Jersey.
I would say he's out.
But I will say he moved ahead of Patrick Kane in all-star voting in the Central Division, so he's first in balloting.
Hey, man, everyone loves PK. I mean, how could you not?
How could you not love him in an all-star atmosphere as well?
Exactly.
He's going to be a star, even more so than he already is. Yeah. You're a star, Chris. Thanks. Great show.
And
today.
You're a star.
You're a star.
And the logo on the Dallas Cowboys helmet. A star.